The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Beauvais. Taking care of business and working overtime. With market insights and so much more, talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Beauvais.
Well, welcome to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is your station for talking business. That's a great jingle. We've had that forever. Gets me excited for the show every evening here on AM 790. For those of you who may be new to our program, someone is here, one of our team members, and all team members that host the show must be, by our own requirements, a certified financial planner professional, and that would be Don Soa, myself, Steve Beauvais, and Donna Grace, Don's daughter, who joins him on Tuesday evenings for, I think, the only father and daughter team on the radio. Wednesday night, of course, my son Nathan joins me here for Father and Son Night. And Wednesday night is History Night, and Nathan's a history buff and a very smart financial guy. And so I have him bring in a topic on financial history on Wednesday nights to kind of get it off the dollar signs and the decimal points, get into a little history. And a lot of our clients are 40 years old and up. And so most of those people can relate to these history stories and lessons, actually times of their life, some of them that they've actually lived through. So Wednesday night especially, and Tuesday, to catch the youth on the Money Talk team right here on AM 790. Tonight we're going to talk about taxes. Now, the majority of what you hear from the financial world is about IRAs. If you interviewed the average financial advisor like me, I'm independent, you might see as high as 90% of the assets that they advise on are tax sheltered or tax deferred, IRA, Roth, 403B, 401K. So there's really no tax knowledge necessary in there. Believe it or not, many people are surprised, and my friend Mike McCone knows this. He's a CPA expert, that no matter how you make a gain inside of a regular IRA, when you take the money out to spend it, it's taxed at the highest possible rate, ordinary income. There's no capital gains treatment coming out of an IRA, no qualified dividends. It's the maximum tax possible on all withdrawals, no matter how the gain was made. So tonight we're going to talk about something, the publication called Topic 409. This is what I refer to it as, and I've been on this for a couple of years now. This law changed a few years back when there was some negotiation in our leadership regarding long-term capital gains. And in order to compromise, most of these tax benefits seem to always go to the very wealthy people, you know. This tax law actually targets people in the middle. They are couples with incomes, you know, $70,000 and under, singles $50,000 and under. There's many of you out there. And all you have to do is invest in American companies like Exxon or a mutual fund that invests in American stocks. They have to be stocks, not bonds. And they must be American companies. And it's called the domestic dividend exclusion rule. And what that means is domestic, of course, means our own nation, your fellow American. If we invest in those people by buying these stocks or mutual funds, our government has seen fit to motivate us and reward us with a tax break. Now, isn't that wonderful, Mr. McCone, CPA?
Yes, it is.
Isn't a tax break wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
And this one I love because it's, I don't get it. Meaning, I'm an older guy. I've been around a long time. You know, my income's where it should be at my age. But the middle group here in New England, that couples in that 75 and under range, it's the majority of people fitting that in that income bracket in retirement, because I helped them all get there over the past 30 years. Mm. You know, and so incomes, you know, in retirement for couples, it's very common to have incomes below 75,000. And so there's an opportunity here to invest after-tax money in ways of making growth in the long run, which is taxed at a special rate, maybe tax-free to you. But especially we're going to focus tonight on these dividends. And I think, Mike, it's more relevant now, or especially relevant now, because when people think of dividends, they think of a bank account first, and there's no dividend there anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a lot of folks out there. If you have a tax return around, you can actually pull it out, give us a call. We could tell you where to look on there to see if you qualify for this. Mike and I had a little chat before the show, and it was a funny and a good conversation, Mike, about how a lot of this happens and people aren't aware of it. Could you talk about that a little
bit?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the tax year, I have a 1099 dividend form in front of me, and that's an annual return you'll receive from the payer of the dividends, who the folks that are investing your money, and on line 1A is an amount for total ordinary dividends. 1B, which is the stuff you're talking about, a qualified dividends, and line 2A is total capital gain distributions. And tonight what we're going to talk about is the taxation of those three types of dividends. The ordinary dividends are taxed at the taxpayer's marginal tax rate. And that's the tax rate that the taxpayer has when you go to the tax table. After all your income's received, your deductions are accounted for and exemptions, and the tax table rates are 10, 15, 25, 28, 33, 35, and the highest tax rate is 39.6. So if you have ordinary dividends, they're taxed at whatever tax bracket you're in, just like wages, just like bank interest. But if you're in the other two types of dividends, which you were alluding to, qualified dividends and capital gain distributions, generally they're taxed at long-term capital gain rates, which is a mouthful. Long-term capital gain rate is taxed at a maximum of 15%. And there's an exception to that rule. A new 20% tax rate applies to single taxpayers with taxable income greater than $441,000. So those folks, the zero tax rate, which you were referring to most long-term capital gains and qualified dividend income. And to qualify for this zero tax rate, the taxpayer must be in a 15% or lower ordinary tax bracket. So consequently, single taxpayers with taxable income of less than $37,650 pay no tax on qualified dividends or capital gain distributions.
No tax.
None. Single taxpayers with taxable income between $37,650 and $415,000 pay 15% tax, regardless of their tax bracket. And for the married folks, it's even better. Married taxpayers with taxable income of less than $75,003 pay no tax on those qualified dividends and capital gain distributions.
To the extent that those dividends put them over that limit, then they would be, that the only amount over the limit would be taxed, I believe.
Okay.
Just in case we're near a fine wire here, if somebody is listening.
Married taxpayers with taxable income between $75,003 and $466,000 pay 15% regardless of the tax bracket. So there are some significant tax advantages for these qualified dividends and capital gain distributions.
Now, the capital gains, most people have basically, I think, been aware of that for a long time. That doesn't shock anybody. It's this dividend story that people are not aware of. They're not aware of it. And what's happening is Mike has a 1099 with him, and I brought a couple of my clients in with me tonight, 1099s from last year. And the dividends go in a different column, and the company issuing you the 1099 is aware of this. So you give it to your tax person, or you put it in TurboTax. And then the computer knows if you qualify or not to get the tax break because you put the income in there. It's doing the calculations today, the software.
Mm-hmm.
In the days before software, when you guys all did everything by hand, I mean, this would have to be calculated manually.
Right. The ordinary dividends would be added up with all your other ordinary income, wages, and there'd be a separate calculation for the qualified dividends, which then will be calculated at the taxpayer's long-term capital gain rate.
When that was actually physically being done, the customer was aware. I meet new clients that come in to have accounts, and sometimes they have holdings in their account that are currently, I say, we're going to raise this one. This is tax-free for you. And they go, what? They've had the investment for years and not aware of it.
Hmm.
It's been flowing through the 1099. They've been getting the tax advantage, but they're not aware of it. Hmm. If you're not aware of it, you don't look at it any further, is my point. So that client, I thought, could tolerate quite a bit more of that type of investment. But because it wasn't aware it was even happening, they never bothered to even think about it.
Sure,
Or even ask about it, yeah. Yeah. This is a Money Talk show on AM 790, a station for talking business. We're talking with Mike McCone. Mike's a client of mine and a local CPA, a friend of mine, and an all-around great guy, golfer as well, great golfer. We'll tell you a little story about that a little later on, something unique there. And those of you who know him have heard it before. But if you have an inkling, the hankering to know more about this, you can either visit the IRS website, check out topic 409, or you can actually call us after our break. We come back from the break. If you have your tax return around, between Mike and I, we could give you a pretty good idea if you qualify for something like this. And I'm just envisioning, Mike, you know, some nice couple in Cranston, you know, needs more income, have money in the bank. The reason it's in the bank is because they don't know what to do with it. And everything they look at pays one, half of one, two, doesn't motivate them. So the money stays in the bank earning half of one, and they're paying the maximum tax rate on that money. And they need more income in retirement. They could move $100,000. I know where they could get 4 or 5% in dividends, and it could be tax-free. It could be, you know, $500 a month. Now, young rascals like you and I don't maybe have to hit this point of life yet, but if you're 73, $500 a month is a big number because you're not in the spending mode anymore at that age. So people in retirement, check out Qualified Dividends. Talk to your financial advisor. Call us. Talk to your CPA. Check it out, because I believe there's a monstrous amount of people out there who could really benefit from this, and it's not, it just isn't happening because not too many people are aware of it. They're aware of it in theory, not aware of it up front like a planning strategy, is my point, you know, the application thereof. So this is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talk and business. Nathan will be back next Wednesday night for more Money Talk history. Tonight, my guest is CPA Mike McCone, and we're going to be talking about a variety of taxable-type investments. And I know that we are all motivated to defer taxes. I'm not that motivated to defer taxes. How about that for a strange comment? If I can pay it now at a reduced rate, yes, I'd rather do that than pay it later at ordinary income.
I believe the same thing. You don't know what the tax rates are going to do in the future.
That's right.
And today they're at historical lows.
Yes, they are. So I would take gains now. Then leadership has an issue. I would have thought that had Hillary Clinton became our president, I would have expected higher taxes on those things, and I expect either level or lower with the current president. But we'll see what happens, right?
Yes.
In the long run. And every time we get new leadership, we have to reassess these things. Tax brackets are a big thing, president to president. Historically, they do change them quite a bit, the long-term capital gains and the qualified dividends, because it's a way to go after supposedly the wealthy people, you know, because that's what people think, that's all who has that stuff. Not so. I have an office full of people in Lincoln, average folks who have these type of investments and are benefiting from the tax-free status. Mike McCone and Steve Bovey on the Money Talk Show, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bovey, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
I'm back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. Tonight we're talking about special investments, ones that you make with cash money. The financial world is bending your ear constantly, and that's okay. You know, about IRAs, Roth IRAs, this is the most popular tool that people use to build wealth, tax-sheltered programs. I agree with that. I do some of it myself. For the record, I try to do all three for my retirement, pre-tax, Roth, and after-tax. Let's say, for example, I get to retirement, Mike, and this law is still here, the one we're talking about tonight, qualified dividends, and I need income over and above my Social Security. If I have regular IRA money, Roth, and after-tax money for my retirement, I could make my withdrawals in my retirement from whichever one of those portfolios that creates the best tax situation to take advantage of something like this. If all you have is regular IRA, it's fully taxable, you have no control.
Required minimum distribution, you have no control.
No, right, exactly right. But you don't have any options as far as what type of money you call income this year.
Yes.
When I'm retired, I'll have three flavors.
Mm-hmm.
If the law changes and it's more advantage this year for me to take out my subsidy from my after-tax account, that's what I'll do. But you have an option to play the tax law. If you only save for your retirement in your pre-tax account, you never have a chance to even use the tax laws at all, right? Also, if you have a tax, people don't know this, if you have a stock loss in an IRA, no tax deduction for the loss. It doesn't come out in the end because it's not there, so it's not taxable. But people think they can get a deduction off their income tax this year for a loss inside of an IRA, and that's not true.
You can on a Roth.
On a Roth.
Once you've exhausted all the withdrawals.
Yep.
And then that loss is not a capital loss.
Because it wasn't deducted going in.
That's right. It's subject to the itemized deductions, 2% limitation.
Wow. That's a good one. So if somebody only has retirement accounts, Roth and non-Roth, and they want to own a stock, it's better to own it in a Roth. You get tax-free growth, and if you do have a loss, you can use the taxes.
Once you've withdrawn all of the Roths,
yep,
then the loss will become an itemized deduction, and again, there's a trick to that too.
Sure, there is. Yeah, a lot of the software
still
does this these days.
Not too many times would you find that you can write off that type of investment on pre-tax or non-taxable income.
Right. What do you see in your clients that you work with? Most people doing 401k. Is that the popular saving weapon?
Yeah.
For
well,
most
people that are coming in with the W-2s, you see that now.
Yeah.
And then the retirement tax returns are getting those 1099s. From the retirement accounts. Not too many Roths have hit yet because it's relatively new.
Yes.
But that...
I was surprised to find out that there was mandatory, age 70 and a half requirements on a beneficiary Roth. I ran into that last year. Hmm. Mandatory distributions on a Roth, beneficiary Roth, if you inherit it.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. It's complicated. Part of my last 3 years, I've been training my terrific son Nathan, and he's all trained, he's doing great, and so many times during the course of our day I would say to him, I've never seen that before, and he would always say to me, 39 years in this business and you never saw that before. I said, that's how wild this business is. I see something almost every year that I never even heard of before.
It's constantly changing.
I had a client long term on the phone the other day trying to tell me this thing someone was trying to sell her at a bank. I never even heard of it before, which tells me the salesman is twisting it. Anyway, so she's got material she's going to send me, but she tried to describe it on the phone. I couldn't even comprehend what it could possibly be. Mm-hmm. And so it's very complex and it changes. And also, the rules change in your field especially. You can't ever assume that the answer you have in your noggin at the moment is correct because it changes so fast.
Right.
So Nathan and I on big stuff, we think we know the answer. Guess what? We have to call every time and re-verify and make sure because things change all the time. And you won't know. You'll walk into a big disaster doing it that way, especially, I think, in the tax area. This is the Money Talk Show. We're talking about taxes tonight, a little off topic. Usually it's, the stock market, which was up mildly today. We'll see, just say that, leave it at that. But I do want to talk about these taxes. There's a big opportunity here, not for the big shots, for working people with moderate incomes to get some income in a tax-advantaged way. ExxonMobil, what better-known company is that? 3.9% dividend, ExxonMobil. Domestic company, tax advantage on the dividend. And there's just so much that you can do. And what amazes me, Mike, is that I meet people who come in for advice and they're just not aware. It seems like my industry has focused so heavily on the IRA, the Roth, all those, because it's so easy to sell, I guess, all these advantages, tax deferral, that no one's really looked at the other side of the coin. The other reason is I went back and looked at my own client list, and the majority of people don't have much after-tax money because they were convinced over time to plow it into the 401k, right?
Yes.
Which is fine.
Sure.
So a lot of them don't have a lot of that cash in the end, but anybody that does, they're usually very shocked to learn. They're aware of the tax-exempt status,
mm-hmm.
Of tax-exempt bonds. But those are tax-exempt pretty much for just about everybody, unless you get, I guess, really high. But these accounts we're talking about, they're not tax-exempt. They end up being in a zero bracket for certain people. And would you say that people in the middle ranges get the most kick out of this?
Yeah, I don't know what the medium income in Rhode Island is, but I would think that married couple, their taxable income, which again is all of their gross income,
minus
less their exemptions, less their deductions,
mortgage interest,
less than 70, all of that.
It's also after itemized deductions, isn't it?
Those are the deductions.
Right.
Gross income, less the deductions, less the exemptions.
Yep.
That number is less than 75.3.
Almost every retired couple listening to this show would qualify for that. I think it's 90%.
Yeah, sure.
The majority of the people that I work with are planning a target to be debt-free in retirement, have a home paid for. In Rhode Island here, most couples tell me they're targeting to have about $5,000 a month of income.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're conservative, responsible, mature, and have no debt, that can be a nice lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that age, the savings already been done. There's not a lot of interest in acquiring things, that kind of thing. So
$60,000, if that is their only taxable income, let's just say, and then you take off 12 for standard deduction, another 8 for exemptions, they're taxed at 40. So they're well below. So if you're just targeting the gross income, it's much more than that,
right.
And it's much more beneficial to them.
So that person could probably have $20,000 or $30,000 of qualified dividends and maybe not pay any tax at all on it.
That's right.
Until he went over that 75 threshold,
mm-hmm.
The couple does. Fascinating, right. Fascinating. This is such a an unaware topic that this is why when I called you, I said I gotta get my tax expert in here, because I have more confidence on my topics that I do every day, but this is what you practice all the time, And so I wanted to make sure that we get the message out there, and you don't have to come and see us to do it. You can talk to your people Ask them about qualified stock dividends. Our government and many other progressive governments around the world see fit to install tax laws to motivate, incentivize, and reward us. And that's what this is, right?
Yes.
Invest in your fellow American. Take a risk. You have, if you're thinking more about planning and saving for your retirement, that's good for our country. You know, you'd be less of a burden to your children, to the government, you know, all that. So what if Social Security fails? You know, I mean, I have my doubts and my concerns about that long term. And so this is just another great source, I think, of current income with a tax advantage, which is always wonderful for those that qualify. And again, this is rare. The vast majority of people listening right now probably do qualify. If not, they're pretty close. Matter of fact, you might be able to juggle a return a little bit legally, of course, to qualify if you're close. I wonder if that's possible.
As you were talking about, where
certain legitimate type of things you could do to get the taxable income down to qualify. Yeah. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talking business. We got our news break coming up, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talking business. A little slow on the draw that time. I'm fascinated by this topic, if you can't tell, folks. I've been pounding the table over this one for a long time, and during the break, my CPA friend Mike McCone said to me, it's always been cool at the back end of the conveyor belt where it's processed on the tax return because it's the system takes care of it. It's in the planning stage. No one's aware of it up front. Yeah, that's right. The dividends are taxed at a special tax rate for most of the people listening. And it's I think especially in retirement for people who are needing additional income to subsidize their Social Security. Pensions are no longer a commonplace thing, right?
Yes.
Not like years ago. So we need something else because pensions are going away. What if you're in retirement and all you have is your Social Security and your 401k, IRA, regular, fully taxed, ordinary income withdrawal, and the government just decides to raise your taxes by 15%? Well, you're in trouble. Nothing you can do about it. They have no control. So I think one of the big mistakes I've learned in my 40 years is that I think along the way we have become too tax-deferred conscious. Across the board, almost every client I see has too much IRA money, in my opinion, because they get locked into a corner. Everything that comes out is the maximum rate, no flexibility, no options, no nothing, you know? And so I learned years ago I think planning and having two or three different ones are a better way of doing that, to the extent, and you'll see this happen too, that I have a SEP account for my pre-tax retirement, and I don't think I've maxed it out in a long time. I could have. I had the money. I put more money away from my retirement, but I put it into special dividends and things like that. Because down the road, when I retire in 10 years or more, who knows what the laws will be, right? Who knows what they'll be? And I like having that. See, another thing I always thought was a regular IRA 401k, that tax deduction you get going in, that's temporary. You give it all back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not permanent,
if
right?
If the tax rate goes up, you're paying more than you got.
You could, exactly right. Yeah, so I'm beginning to believe stronger and stronger every day with a lot of my clients that recommending that they not just think about the tax return today, but to think of the long-term planning for their retirement and to have more than one kind of taxable money in retirement. There's the trick. You need more than one flavor of ice cream because then you can play the tax laws to your advantage. Right?
Yes.
Let's say, for example, a person right now had only ordinary income. They can't use this tax law. You got to have cash money. In order to get the tax break. So if you're interested in tax-exempt investing, you can look it up online today. There's a lot of these great websites like Fidelity, Vanguard, T. Rowe Price, many other great ones, where you can go on, you can learn about all this stuff so that you'll have knowledge before you talk to someone.
IRS.gov, there's a top box there. You can type in qualified dividends, capital gain distributions, which is what I did.
There you go, yep.
And it'll lay everything out for you very clearly.
Nice. And and this is something that you can. I had a few clients in my office come in and say, "I heard you talk about that on the radio show, and it really wasn't something that fit them, but it fit their parents well." And a couple of cases I can think of, we took money that was earning nothing and being taxed at the maximum rate, and we put it in 4 to 5% dividend payers, and it's going to be tax free. So we created really out of thin air you know, $500 a month tax-free income for this couple in their 70s in retirement. And in that age group, that's a lot of money because, you know, your spending is pretty low at that point, you know. So it seems to be something that people can take advantage of. And I'm very happy, very excited to talk about this because it really, the greatest advantage is for people in the middle income ranges, middle and lower. The upper range gets a lesser break on it. But some break, but lesser break. But the big break is in the middle, you know, at that up to 75, you said, couples. And mm-hmm. Was it 37 for singles? You said it was 37.5
37,000 for singles.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so these are
75.3.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I'm thinking of it primarily in retirement because that's when people want income from their money. Mm-hmm. When they're younger, they want it to grow, you know, so the capital gains applies there. But preferred stocks is another great topic. Preferred stocks are stocks that are not common stocks, which means you don't have as much price fluctuation, but you have a whopping dividend. There's a very exciting exchange-traded fund, the symbol is PFF. It's a preferred stocks, 300 of the S&P 500 companies, and it's only S&P 500 companies, so nice stock dividend there. And again, a foreign stock doesn't qualify. You'll pay the full boat rate on that. I wonder if, and I'm not asking you this because you may know this, you know a lot, but I wouldn't expect anybody to know this. I wonder if other countries do the same thing we do, that they have in their tax law incentives. Have you seen a tax return from outside the country?
I have not.
Yeah, it's fascinating, though.
I got enough to do with domestic stuff.
I got enough to do. That's right. We're going to ship Mike off to Poland to help out over there. But I do know that, you know, more progressive modern economies do create tax laws as an attempt to create control behavior. That's why that's why charitable giving is deductible, right? To motivate the event itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it may sound sad, and it may be, but I believe it's true that tomorrow morning, charitable deductions were no longer allowed, there'd be less of it.
Absolutely.
I don't doubt that for 1 minute.
Right.
So it does work, and it does motivate us. And those of us who are getting excited about these Roth IRAs, it motivated you. Yeah, think of the idea of another great idea. We're on taxes before we go to our next break. Couples around my age in their 50s, often they're maxing out their 401k plan. The kids are grown. Debts are paid down. I get them if they qualify into maximum Roth IRAs. You can have an income up to about 170, I believe, and contribute to Roth IRAs. And for the last 10 years of their retirement, they're putting $1,000 a month away. That's $120,000. It'll all be tax-free in retirement because it's Roth IRAs. Just having this different flavor of taxable money in retirement is nothing. I haven't heard it anywhere. I haven't read about it anywhere, but I believe it's a great idea. And I think for most people looking forward, if you got 10 years to go, try not to go into retirement with just one flavor of retirement money. You know, and keep in mind that the motivation for doing the pre-tax stuff is temporary. We give it back, and we might even give it back at a higher rate. You never know. Brackets, before we go to our next break, brackets are wide now.
Yes.
Years ago, people, a little bit changing your return would change your bracket, right?
Right.
Now they're wide, real wide.
And they're looking to go wider.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. This administration wants 3 tax brackets.
Right.
And right now we've got 7.
7,
ranging
okay.
from 10 to 39.6.
Yeah. Yeah, some of these brackets are big. They go from like 60,000 to 160.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's me by white. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I have many people in our office. They talk about, well, I'll be in a lower bracket when I retire, and that's almost never the case anymore. People, we work and make it 120. They retire at 60. They're in the same bracket, you know, because they're wide. Now, years ago, there was a lot of opportunity for planning, right? When the brackets are many and tight, opportunity for a lot of planning there.
Sure.
When you got these 7 brackets now, you say, and talking about going to 3, huh?
That's what is being proposed.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
We'll see what this guy does next.
The simplest thing to fix right now would be to just lower the tax brackets themselves rather than overall tax overhaul and just shuffling around.
Simple
the
decision.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of 30, let's make it 27. It's a simple one. Yeah, this is Mike McCone and Steve Bove on the Money Talk Show on AM 790, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Yeah. I always have to wait for that little yeah to come back. Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. We're talking about taxes tonight. You notice the usual topics are not on the board. I was fortunate enough to get my tax expert here, Mike McCone, CPA, to come in and help me explain this to you all. I know I've been talking about it a lot, and I didn't think you were believing me, so I thought, let me get somebody here who has those letters after their name to help me out. Again, it's probably happening to a lot of you if you have shop advisors that are aware of this, but if you have an advisor who's choosing investments based on the tax law, you got to be aware of that. They must have said something to you at the initial point that here's why this is a good idea. And I just see people, Mike, in my office every week with cash money investments, brokerage accounts, and are not aware at all of any tax advantages in investing after tax money. They're not aware of it at all. It's amazing to me. And again, probably half the people you see have retirement 401k only, so they can't use this. But for the group that does, I would think that possibly people who were single all their life, maybe had an ability to save a little more, or maybe couples that didn't have children. So maybe there's certain demographics that can take advantage of this more so. It's hard to save up enough in your retirement account to retire comfortably and then have some money in the bank also.
Yes.
I think for average folks, that's hard to do. They can, you know, it's quite a task just to get the 401k, you know, filled up and rolling along. In our office, our staff has a 401k plan with a Roth option, and I think pretty much across the board, they all chose 50-50. At our advice, Don and I advise the staff 50-50. So in retirement, all our staff will have at least two flavors. And actually, they're working on my assistant Kim is working on the third flavor, a brokerage account. Ah. Yeah, you get to retirement. You say, here's how I was going to distribute my money, and that means I'm going to pay $12,000 in taxes that year. All of a sudden, the tax law changes. You say, I'll take it out of that account over there instead, and no tax. It gives you the opportunity when you get there to play the cards better. So I'm very convinced. And confident than ever that this is a great strategy for people who have some after-tax money.
Yes.
Yeah, big one. Again, it may be happening to you. If you have a 1099 from last year laying around, I brought a couple in. Mike brought one in. We could use that to talk with you all about it. The one I'm looking at right here, it just says total capital gains. It says qualified dividends. It's very quite interesting. Nobody really talks about it. I guess only really... nerds talk about a 1099. That's a real nerd topic. I'm like,
yes.
Yes, he says.
Here in April.
You gave me that little nerd yes. But that's good. That's good. I'm a chart nerd. I study charts all day long. There's no salesmanship in charts. There's nobody's opinion in charts. Charts are just data on a chart, just raw data points. So most of my research is chart studying, not reading the written word. Because I believe in my field that all of us have a viewpoint of things, but all of us also, as we were chatting earlier as well, anyone who's really experienced doesn't really believe that they can predict anything, what will happen, you know. Although, I will say, I think with a good amount of experience, you can know how to react to what might occur, but that doesn't mean that same knowledge gives you the ability to predict the event before it occurs. Mm-hmm. It's a different thing.
Sure.
One of my... clients I've had for many a long time, a lovely woman. She's just, I always thought she should have been a queen or something. She just has that style, you know. And one time she said to me about an investment fluctuation, it was down, and she came in for something. I said, I had like six meetings in a row, everybody's all nervous. And she came in and said to me, oh, I didn't come in for that reason. Those aren't my prices. Those are the prices for somebody who needs the money now. My prices are somewhere in the future. And I thought to myself, some people know how to invest and some people don't. That woman... She had it down before she even met me. It wasn't me that made it work over the years. It was her. Just never was emotional, never reacted, refused to look at anything short-term because it wasn't short-term money. She'd say to me, talk to me about the five-year returns and out. I don't care. Anything else is irrelevant. Not really. It's a long-term tool. Why use a short-term measuring stick on a long-term tool? You're probably going to get an inaccurate measurement. Like, well, let's say you had a long-term good portfolio that had a great long-term return. It could have had an off couple of years. Doesn't make it a bad investment. Now, matter of fact, probably make it a better buy now. Well, it's out of favor, right? Well, it's lower in value. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talking business. Mike McCone is here. You can reach Mike if you want to talk to him about taxes at 737-1885. That's 737-1885. You carry your dad's business card. Is that true?
I do.
I know you told me that. I like that. I love that. He was at the same business as you.
He's CPA.
My son is following me, and he has a similar-looking card. We all have the same card at Soul Financial Group, you know, so similar to that. Only because I don't want to run out of time. It's not why you're here. You're my tax guy. Tell us about your golfing experience. This is so unique. You got to tell us a story.
I'm legally blind, and I was totally blind back in 2008 and 9. And then I had some sight restored, and I found out there was the United States Blind Golf Association who holds tournaments for folks that fit the legally blind to totally blind site requirements, and I've been fortunate enough since 2010 to win 3 national championships.
Wow.
And I have learned so much, and I'm so inspired by the blind folks who would either sit in a chair or get out and compete in a golf tournament. It's really, I didn't plan on being blind. I figured I'd do taxes for the rest of my life and be able to see, but it's hard to describe, and I'm really blessed that I've had this experience.
Wow. I remember participating in the tournament with you a while back. There, one of my clients, John, from Cumberland, came in. He was one of the coaches. Mm. He just talks about it. He got more kick out of it than the man he was helping, I think.
Yes.
They all do. And I don't remember if it was you, pardon me, or if it was someone else in your group there that day at the golf course that told me one of the greatest parts about the blind golfing concept is if you get young people involved in that, and you get a 10-year-old boy to hit that club, hit at least just one ball really well, and the crowd all cheers because he knows he hit it well, the next thing he thinks is, I can get the girl.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't you, no. No. It was somebody at the golf course. I thought, it's
me.
A confidence thing.
Yes, it is.
And talk about a confidence staller if you're born with sight limitations for a young person. That's got to be tough.
Well, I've coached the totally blind children, and so they don't know. They've never seen it. And right. They are told that they can't do things. They have
right.
restrictions.
Right.
And to meet these kids, they've got smiles on their faces. They walk along with their cane. And they say, yeah, I'll do that. I can do that. And so when they hear that club hit the ball for the first time, they light up because they've been told they can't do that. You
can't
play
it.
Golf, you're blind.
Right.
And these kids are amazing.
It's a great story. I'm teary right now. And the first time you told me the story about how it affects the young ones, I cried that day you told me. I was wiping tears out of my eyes,
yeah.
Which is a great thing. If you can do something like that for a child that was born with that sort of an unfortunate circumstance, I mean, is there a greater thrill in life than that, something like that? I mean, only restoring their sight, if you could.
Hmm.
But short of that, there's not too much greater you can do, I think, than that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Blind Golf, check it out. Anyone that's local, a website they can visit to find out about the association?
UnitedStatesBlindGolf.com.
UnitedStatesBlindGolf.com. I remember when we first got involved with this, and you and I, I was telling people about it, and I think at first they don't believe you.
Right.
Yeah, they don't believe. But then you think about it, if you don't know the game of golf well, maybe I can understand why you'd say that. But I know the game of golf well. I don't play that much, but I know that. You're not supposed to watch the ball, right?
Well, you're supposed to watch the ball, but our tagline is, you don't need to see it to tee it.
Right, exactly right. You don't need to see it to tee it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so how do they begin training them if they can't?
We have clinics.
Clinics.
We have local clinics.
Local
and I've
clinics.
Had a clinic here with a local pro, and we get the kids out. And the thing is that we don't have a big pool of blind children. You know, you go to a school that is there for blind folks, kids and adults, and that would be a pool of children. But we don't have that in Rhode Island. So we could go to Massachusetts, and they have places like Insight that have summer programs that we get kids.
Mm.
And then their parents bring them up, and they're fascinated to get these kids doing anything.
Of course.
And they're 8, 10, 12, very impressionable. They all smile. They do not see themselves as having a handicap.
Wow. Mm. That's phenomenal. The whole story is great. The organization is great. And but when I heard, that little part of it, how it affects the younger ones and what the motivation is to help them in their own psyche about dealing with their life and their problem,
yes.
I just thought, every time I hear that story, it brings a tear to my eye, and doing it again. It's just wonderful. So if you have someone in your life that's like that, check it out. Check out the website. Check it all out. If you need some good tax advice, some tax services, you can call Mike personally at 737-1885 or call me here anytime. I always know where you are.
Yes.
How long you been practicing taxes?
Since 1981.
Yeah, well, a long time, like me. Yeah.
Long time. Started
about the same time, 1980, I started my field, so we're both in that pushing 40 years in our field. Hmm. I'm going 10 more. What about you?
Oh, I got all of that.
Yeah? Good for you. Hey, thank you for joining us tonight and every night on the Money Talk Show. We are here every evening at 5 p.m. Monday night, Don Sowa, the nameplate, the founder of the program. Tuesday night, Don and his daughter, Donna Grace, a very tenured. Tuesday night is another unique thing about that show, and I'm the right guy to talk about it because they're not going to tell you because they're too humble and professional. On Tuesday night, you have a unique situation there where both of the hosts of the program have been named recently by Rhode Island Monthly as top wealth managers in the state, and you have two of them in one evening on a one-hour program here. That's very, very rare, very unique. And I don't think there's father and daughter teams or father and son teams on the air. So we have a program every evening for you at 5 p.m. give us a call, ask us questions if you'd like. We can also take topics if you'd like. Sometimes people send in emails or ask questions off air, and we'd be happy to handle it that way. We'd rather speak with you if you're inclined, but if not, we would not refuse to help you ever. And so if you want to drop us a quiet question, we'd be happy to get you the answer. Sometimes we don't know the answer. Right, Mike? We got to go look it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad was a mechanic, a great mechanic, an honest mechanic that his customers loved and respected. And he always told me that, Stephen, when you say to somebody, I don't know, I'll find out, you just told them you're not willing to wing it. You're not willing to give them a quick answer to impress them. Mm-hmm. You care more about giving them the best answer, so you're going to double-check it first. Mm-hmm. And he taught me very young, don't ever, Stephen, be afraid to say you don't know, and you'll find out. Don't ever be afraid, because the people who are afraid to say they don't know are the ones that hurt people. Hmm. If you're giving people advice, you give it to them incorrectly, you could do some harm. So I think it's a good way to be. Hey, this is the Money Talk Show on AM 790. I want to thank you again, Mike. We're wrapping things up here. It goes by pretty quickly, the one-hour show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on, and we'll have you on again to talk about more exciting tax topics and how you all can take advantage of, legally, of course. Because please remember, there's nothing patriotic about paying any more taxes than you need to. I love my country. I love Rhode Island. I'm not moving to Florida. And I want to pay as little taxes as I can legally, and that's just fine. Right, Mike?
Absolutely.
Hey, have a good night, you all, and tune in tomorrow night right here for Don Sowa right here on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
Of all of the people that I used to know, most never adjusted to the great big world. I see them lurking in bookstores, working for the public radio. Yeah, the babies around, the sack on their back, moving careful and slow. It's money that matters. Hear what I say. Money that matters in the USA.